Well, thanks to the writer's strike, you don't have Seth Meyers or anybody like that to make fun of horrible people like Marjorie Taylor Greene. What you do have is beef, wine, and shenanigans, ladies and gentlemen.
Woo-hoo!
Because unfortunately, none of us are actually in the Writers Guild. We wish them well on that strike.
Absolutely.
Especially since, you know, I mean, I'm in the DGA, so.
And I'm in SAG.
And you unfortunately have Fran Drescher, who I saw say some rich lady shit. while standing on a picket line or near the picket line for the WGA. And real quick before before I completely sidetrack us from what we said we were going to talk about, I was talking to a friend who knew the former president of SAG. I think the man's name is Rosenberg.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Rosenberg, I believe, or Alan. Either way, that gentleman was, and I'm reticent to actually name the name, but he was repeatedly threatened. Like, his life was threatened repeatedly because he was trying to look out for the little guy actors, not just Denzel and Angelina Jolie. And he actually proposed a strike at one point, and someone who you would never even think would say something like this literally was like, "We are not striking or I will kill you." Yeah.
Joe Pesci?
When was that?
No, first of all, it was a woman, and I'm not going to say on air who it is. So,
but like, he was in the past, right?
It's one of those things where I don't even want that smoke. So, yeah. So,
wow.
I'm not saying it. I'm just saying that, you know, when it comes down to SAG, you guys might want to, you know, seriously start considering like who you're voting for in that thing. As for the DGA negotiations, those are, for whatever reason, like serious lock and key. Like every once in a while, they'll release some information to the members. And so far, I think we're okay. At least that's what we're supposed to be left to feel.
I got an email that they want us to sign something to authorize striking for SAG.
Well, I've heard with actors specifically, they're trying to use AI technology for stuff like, let's say you want to put Carrie Fisher back into a Star Wars movie. Now with the AI thing, you can do it without having to pay the estate. That's the kind of stuff that I heard is on the table as far as that goes.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Scary, man. Skynet.
Shitty.
This shit right here, Revenge of the Nerds.
Right.
That is Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh my gosh.
Right. And speaking of shitty, let's talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene for a hot second.
Holy moly.
She, who continues to double down on racist rhetoric, actually publicly came out and said her calling her a white supremacist is the equivalent of calling an African-American
the N-word.
That's not how it works. That's not how it works. Yeah, that's not how it works.
I saw a comedian, Maloney. Maloney. He was a writer for SNL for a while. He had his own show on Fox.
Right.
He had a joke, actually. One of the jokes was, if you are equating two words and you cannot say, and you say the words, but you can't say the other, you're in the wrong. Yeah. You're making the wrong comparison. Your comparison is wrong. And you can say white supremacist, but you can't say the N-word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is not a problem.
No.
And that was the funniest shit. I was like, yeah, yeah.
The only a racist doesn't believe they're racist. that I mean, the whole John Bowman thing.
No.
I mean, I don't even have words for it because it is so ridiculous that you're literally like, you know what this reminds me of? You ever see that episode of Cops when they were chasing the guy and he hid the children's pool and the cops flipped the pool over and he laid still because he figured if he stayed still, they wouldn't see him?
That's hilarious.
And they're like trying to get him to stand up and he won't move. He literally is laid there frozen. And the cop is like, he actually thinks we don't care. How do you have a conversation? I'll bet a loud conversation with somebody. It's on film from four different cameras and cell phones, and then get in front of a press conference with a straight face and go, I felt attacked.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I was like, what?
He gives it, you know, the typical angry, threatening black man, you know, I felt threatened. So, but you didn't run.
No.
You didn't put distance between you. I mean, you didn't ask for security to come and help you.
No.
So,
yeah, they like laughed, you know, and Joe breaks. She
has a gun. You didn't shoot him. So I'm confused. Yeah. And I'm like, and I'm literally like, I think at this point, the thing that bothers me the most is the press. No one in the press was like,
right.
I was outside. You wrong, girl.
Right.
It's like, that's not what we saw. You know, I mean.
Well, the sad thing is the press isn't challenging as much as they used to.
Yeah.
I want to say gone are the days of, gone are the days of Cronkite and all these other,
you know,
people that would ask, like Barbara Walters, even Diane Sawyer, you know, I would say these people would ask better questions if they were around. I mean, I don't think Diane Sawyer is dead. That's not really my point. But
but she's not like in the spotlight.
No,
she's not the person they're sending out there anymore.
Right. Right. But I wonder if those people are worried about their lives. Like maybe they're worried about being threatened by someone else.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure if you were to read Anderson Cooper's DMs, it would probably reduce you to tears.
Yeah.
I have a feeling they're more afraid of their job.
And then there's that.
I think they think if they challenge these people, their boss is going to be like, you got to win that or I'm tossing you out of here. Because I can't for the life of me. I mean, that's par for the course being anything as a reporter, politics. I mean, you're going to get threatened. Mm-hmm. It comes with the territory. You know, I mean, of course, you don't know if the person's going to go through with the threat. But I mean, you got people who look at the guy who got killed by the Saudis. But I mean, he didn't, but he wasn't afraid to say what he had to say. You know, I mean, if that's what you're worried about, I mean, I just don't understand how people like at this point, it should become a laughing stock. Like, I think I had seen earlier this week during one of the committee hearings, this woman was laughing at Marjorie Taylor Greene. And she said, she was like, "You, this is funny." And the woman's like, "No, I think it's funny that you don't know what you're talking about." You know, like literally like you need to, like in so many words, shut up. Because you're not, this is what you're doing. This is what you need to do. And you know, it'd be nice if the press did that to George Santos the other week when he came out of court and tried to be like, this is a conspiracy, and the whole press corps was like, shut up. And he was like,
I feel like the issue with George Santos is that he doesn't have the Republican street cred to get the protection. Like, it's almost like they'll let us have him. You know what I'm saying? He's like a chess piece that they're willing to like sacrifice.
Yeah.
For like the bigger agenda.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, no more or less a piece of shit than Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Right.
Yet expendable.
Definitely expendable.
So there, nobody's going to the wall for him. At least that's not what it looks like right now. And at the end of the day, you know, both parties are now getting to the point where they are literally just sacrificing And they're just trying to make up ground against the other one. It doesn't even matter if the person's qualified. It doesn't matter if the person couldn't legitimately argue themselves out of a speeding ticket. It's literally just about who's going to vote for my shit.
Yeah, that's scary.
And it is scary. It's scary, and it's party before politics. Mm-hmm. And it's and ultimately, the middle class and the poor are going to be the ones to suffer. All the marginalized communities, they're all going to suffer because of this malaise and this corruption and this fraud that's constantly being shoved down our throats. But right at the head of it, of course, is also, along with Marjorie Taylor Greene being a horrible human being, then there's Ron DeSantis. And Ron DeSantis, I forget, there was some new thing that just came out about him. And I think, Kurt, were you?
He had just signed a bill allowing Asian American and Pacific Islander Americans history to be taught in schools and colleges. And a lot of Asian American spokespeople, I should say, like, you know, social civic leaders and TikTokers also and academics have come out against it, pretty much, you know, calling it out for what it is, which is the, you know, the him playing on the model minority myth. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you got to be one of the good ones. You know, this is for the good ones.
You guys, minorities.
Don't worry about the Negroes and the Mexicans. They're not the good minorities like you guys are. And they're saying this is pretty much just a play to. This is what is it?
Hit us against each other.
Yeah. Oh, and also just, you know, kind of like trying to like a get out of jail free card. Right. Hey, you're racist. I'm not racist. I signed this bill allowing
for these minorities to come out. Yeah. I hope they light him up like a Christmas tree.
I hope Disney grabs him and crucifies him in front of this.
They just canceled like 3,000 jobs. Like they were. No, we're not going now. Wah, wah.
Here's the thing I love about Florida.
No.
Because even in the midst of this ignorant. So. You've got the undocumented immigrants.
Yes.
Have stopped working on all construction sites across the state. So if you go on TikTok and look, there's nothing being built.
Right.
Not a thing. Not one single solitary person and the hotels
had to cancel reservations.
Cancel reservations because they have no workers.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
You have Jacksonville. Is it Jacksonville?
Yeah, Jacksonville.
Florida?
Jacksonville, yeah.
Just voted in their first Democratic mayor.
Yay!
And that's one of the largest cities in Florida. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have got Disney, who's not only pulled out a $1 billion project that would have brought 2,000 jobs, not to mention the amount of jobs after the project was done.
Mm-hmm.
And suing him,
mm-hmm.
and the people who got arrested for voting are suing him and have a leg to stand on with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dude, you are just racking up all of these points. And now he's going to run for president, yet he went to the UK to this business conference to which all of them were like, you're an idiot. Nobody likes you. And as the UK guy said, I don't understand how you can call yourself a man who's for business and you're fighting with one of the biggest corporations on the planet.
Right.
None of this
on the planet.
So the way I'm looking at this is like slowly but surely, I'm trying to figure out exactly at what point the Republican legislature starts to realize we're in trouble, because they just changed it so that if he does not win the nomination, he can have his old job back. which bogus. Apparently they've done that before.
Fixed.
The comedy is, one, he's not going to make it past round one with the village, with the true village idiot. And then you got Tim Scott up there who's going to try to run. So you got a brother trying to fight two. That ought to be comedy.
Oh my gosh. But
you're literally driving the economy of Florida into the ground.
Yep.
Before everyone's eyes. And you got a mayor now in charge of one of the largest cities who's about to every damn thing you've signed into law.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't see. And he's not popular beyond the border of Florida.
Nope.
Because he endorsed three individuals. All three of them lost their elections.
Yep.
So there's like all of this signing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only thing, Florida, if you're listening, brothers and sisters in Florida, figure out how to flip the gerrymandering.
Right.
If you can do that, you can take your state back and get your legislation overturned to a democratic legislation. That's what you need to do now.
Yeah.
Because this fool, by the time he's done, whoever comes in after him is going to have to overturn like 90% of that stuff. Because none of it's popular. It's only a pocket of people down there, you know, because now slowly he's hurting everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in the beginning, it was just the woke crowd. But now, you know.
A woke crowd. Niggas who don't sleep.
Oh, I forgot this piece. Gavin Newsom.
Gavin!
Oh, Disney.
Oh, yeah.
They invited Disney. Here.
Yep. He invited Disney to Disneyland to do the project there.
Yeah.
Now y'all didn't hear this from me.
Ooh.
But maybe what Disney needs to do is do their own version of Dubai, go out there into the Nevada desert, build a big ass resort with a beach and everything else, and leave Florida.
Man, that would be crazy.
And I believe Universal and what is the SeaWorld? All of them parks are not going to, nobody's coming to those places. Well, maybe Universal.
Universal's actually doing pretty good because they have the Harry Potter thing.
But they're not going to be
in the Mario Kart.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
They may follow suit.
I think they would.
That would happen.
Yeah. But you guys won't have any Disney stuff on the East Coast other than Florida, though.
Yeah, that's the bad part.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I would imagine with Universal and with SeaWorld, it's kind of like when people get there and then, you know, shit's too crowded at Disney. So what happens?
Yeah.
Well, let's go over here. Well, let's go to Shamu. You know, they're going to feel the pain of not having Disney as a neighbor. You know,
Disney
as a neighbor. Disney World, whichever one.
Also, the people have to incur the taxes and property taxes of Disney leaving.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm saying maybe they can start using AI to construct another Disney World.
AI. According to this.
Yes. It's a hologram. So you can't ride on it. It's a hologram.
Come on. A talking mouse and a talking duck, but with a speech impediment. Give the duck a speech impediment. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll go over real well.
Yeah, put these VR glasses on and just walk out. Into that field right there.
Watch out for the alligators.
Hi, boys and girls.
Right. It's a fucking barren swampland and everybody's VR glasses.
Snapping turtles.
I think the only people that'd be happy would be the gators. The gators would be like, finally, we got our grip back.
Right.
although I did like that popcorn that they made. With the butter and the caramel.
Right. Actually, I bet you the baby shark, baby alligators love that a whole lot.
I found out that Disney actually has under its employ, I want to say, over 1,000 cats that they allow to roam at night in Disneyland, in Disney World, to take care of a rodent problem.
They employ the wait. Did you say they employ the cats?
Yeah, they actually have like they have facilities set aside for the maintenance and care of the cats.
Wow.
They feed the cats during the day, so you don't really see the cats a lot during the day. You see maybe one or two, but at night they let them roam through the park.
Release the cats.
And, you know what, and I couldn't help but think of
Are they unionized?
H.P. Lovecraft. They probably are. You ain't gonna front. No, actually, you know what? Cats don't even need a union because you know they don't give a fuck.
They're cats, man.
Cats ain't joined the force. So you know why they don't have a union? Because cats are like, "Eh, fuck you. I don't need that shit."
Right. I do it myself.
It reminded me of a Lovecraft story, The Cats of Umbar. Where the cats used to roam through the streets of Umbar and nobody touched them. And it reminded me of the story that of the thing you sent me, Steve, on Instagram.
With
the lady rolling down the hill.
I saw that. She's in the wheelchair.
Yes. It's called The Eye of the Cat.
I have to watch that.
Scene where number of cats are rolling out of this chick's house, this mansion. Cats. Cats is evil, baby. I love
it. It looks so intense. I got to watch it. Yeah. Oh, cats, my gosh.
Cats will save us all. No, they won't. They won't give a fuck.
They will not save us all.
See, if love, they had love, the sense death and
that
robots?
They were saving us all, the demands behind that.
Mm-hmm. You said love, death, and robots. There was that scene where the cats had taken over the planet because we killed each other. We killed ourselves. The cats with thumbs.
My stars.
Yeah, Florida, you look... Florida's fucked except for Miami. Miami don't consider themselves Florida.
Right,
like New York City doesn't consider itself New York.
Right. I'm from Buffalo. That ain't New York.
That ain't New York.
No. You don't have no superheroes.
Y'all just started playing real football. I don't even want y'all talking about.
Right. And the Jets.
I actually
Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets.
I have some friends from Buffalo who will be very upset at that joke, but it is what it is. Yes, and Aaron Rodgers is apparently going to go to the Jets, and maybe that's a good thing, you know? I mean, he's kind of...
older quarterback? We've been losing with young ones all this... For about a decade, we've been losing with young quarterbacks. Let's see what happens when we put an older one in. Oh, we're still losing, huh?
Still losing. But It'll bring more money. Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers comes out. The world is flat. Yeah, we're going to lose.
Okay.
Right.
With his man bun, right? He grows it back. Right.
And that's the other thing, too. It's been very disappointing these past few years. These
what, man?
Quarterbacks with these fucked up politics. You got Tom Brady up here acting like he's, like, you know.
Dummy. Like
he's best friends with Trump and, you know, and... Aaron Rodgers, of course, who's acting like a complete penis through the entire run of COVID. I mean, I don't know. It's just like,
it's funny.
It's
like when black folks speak up. No, I was saying when black folks speak up, like Colin Kaepernick, all of a sudden white folks got to react and say some stupid. Well, wait, if he can believe in equality and being treated as a human being, I can believe in the world is flat. Right.
And I get a voice saying I got the vaccine.
Right.
It's like all lives matter. But that's the whole point of Black Lives Matter. So what you're saying is that everybody but us matters. No, I'm saying everybody matters, but Black people. No, that's not what I'm saying.
That's what you're saying.
We're trying to get this started and you're trying to jump over the fence before we even get to the wall.
Right. We try to get one bit of equality and they're going to give us a Jim Crow. Give him Jim Crow. Civil rights movement. Give him Reagan. Colin Kaepernick. Give him Brady and Aaron. Let's find another guy. Let's get that other guy. The basketball player who thinks the world is flat.
Right.
And then there's Brett Favre.
Oh.
Who just happens to steal from black people.
Millions upon millions.
Upon millions.
So his and didn't want to so sue. His kid's school couldn't have
a volleyball.
That's right. It was a volleyball court. Yeah. I almost said swimming pool, but no, that was somebody else. I want
to
say.
And then wants to sue. And then wants to sue the journalist that broke the story. Right. It's not slander. It's true, nigga.
That's literally Dracula suing Van Helsing.
Yes. That's some bullshit. That's what.
What's wrong with you? There's like what you call it? The freshman congresswoman from Texas who got loud the other day when the woman said about they were arguing about DC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and she was like about the sexual the sexual assaults and something needs to be done. And she's like, well, my constituents on the other side do something about sexual assaults, given the fact that the front runner for the Republican Party. just got convicted for sexual assault.
Right. I saw that one too.
Was it like 13 felony counts or something along those lines?
Yeah. So she was like, so I'm glad to do something. Maybe that means we're in a step in the right direction and he will not be president, hopefully.
She said, I got 26 seconds and I'm gonna say my piece.
She did
in 26 seconds.
Everybody last week, that's why I wish I could get, we should go down there and sit in on one of these hearings and just start hooping and hollering when these people, no, I think somebody did that and they were like, say, excuse me, there's no applauding during the. But then that's
oh my God, we would get kicked out of there faster than fucking Charles Oakley and fucking troopers. Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. We get kicked out there faster than them legislators, those two congressmen in Minnesota, Minneapolis, the Justins.
The Justins.
Oh, you mean in Tennessee.
In Tennessee, yeah.
The Justins.
Shit, man, those they two, might actually
those
shoot
us.
Those
two need to start a band.
those two are his.
Shoot us.
Just what cracks me up is the way it's like the way they talk, because they talk like they have to. I have to slow down and explain things to y'all because you're not. And the can you tell me, name one book that needs to be banned on this list? See, you're not understanding the purpose of the bill. Oh, ma'am, I am. Could you just please take one or two books that you would like to ban on this book and why?
Wait, those two right there is Huey and Riley in adulthood have taken care of their anger management and learned how to how to channel that anger in a productive manner as opposed to blowing shit up and shooting motherfuckers up.
Yes,
I think that's the silver lining in a lot of this is when you watch the freshman congressman, like that one from Florida, the I forget his name, it's a Jewish guy, and he gets up and he's like, okay, so we're having a conversation about, he's the one I sent y'all the video. Where they cut that scene from Friday when they were like, damn.
Oh, wait, was he? No, he wasn't. He wasn't. Because you made me think of this other guy that shut down the, I want to say it was the Pledge of Allegiance in school, or it was some kind of prayer in school thing. Mm-hmm. And no, I am sorry. It was the commandments.
Oh,
putting the commandments up on the wall in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy shut it down so beautifully that it was breathtaking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
He was like, basically the short version of it is he was saying how his version of Christianity is also inclusive. So when you throw the commandments up on the wall, you exclude the Buddhist student. The Muslim student, and you know, and he kind of broke it down like that. But I mean, you know, it's unfortunate because so many of these evangelicals, they're still caught up in what I look at in terms of what ended up subjugating Africa in the first place, or parts of it anyway, in the sense that they came with guns in their own religion and they nullified our stuff.
Yeah.
Whatever we were doing was equal. Whatever we was doing ultimately was equally as valid and equally of a faith.
Yeah.
But our, for lack of a better way of explaining it, our conquerors used that to basically disavow whatever it was we were, you know, doing, praying to, and whatever. And that's why, you know, every once in a while when I write something with a religious tinge to it, I kind of insinuate that as a stolen people, we are probably not praying to the right deity.
Yeah. Ooh, that's deep.
Since we that's had deep. Since we've had their deities beaten into us. And the only folks that really managed to preserve their thing, I hate to say it, was the Latinos, because
and the Haitians.
And the Haitians.
A lot of many Haitians.
They were enslaved by Catholics mostly. So they were able to take their deity and pretend that it was this saint.
Right.
This deity is this saint.
Right.
Babalu is this one. Chango is this one.
Right.
On and on and on and on. And then just do what they felt like doing under just the guise of, oh yeah, we're participating in your religion. Sure we are. We got stuck with Protestants who are, of course, less imaginative. Let's just put that out there.
And I'll even say more violent.
And more violent.
Protestants burn a church. Protestants will burn a church with a bunch of black people in it just to make a point.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's the thing. How good can your God be working for me if you're still able to burn me up in a church?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait, there's a...
Or be Dylan Roof.
There's a guy on YouTube, not YouTube, I think I posted it on my Instagram already. He said, y'all be saying, you know, God, you know, you get all this, you know, you get all these headaches and you get all the hardships because God is testing your faith. Nigga, I'm an atheist. Why are you coming at me?
Oh, that's funny. Why are you coming at me?
I had to laugh at that shit.
Oh, my stars.
Oh, shit. You spoke of vampires earlier there, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of. Huh?
Yeah.
Speaking of, Renfield, which I believe everybody got to see.
Yeah.
And I think we're all pretty happy with it for the most part, except for Kirk. Offended by one or two things. We'll get into
that. Was I offended? Yeah, it wasn't offended. I was just like tired.
Well, brought it up, so I did.
It was like...
You normally don't bring stuff up.
And the thing is, it just kind of bothers me a little bit because...
All right, explain to the audience what you mean.
Look at Mark's face
you're upset about.
So, you know, there's a reference to one of the assholes of the character, asshole characters, who's abusing his girlfriend, verbally abusing his girlfriend, and physically, from what it looks like also, the way she describes it, emotionally abusing his girlfriend. And she brought up that, you know, and he does this. He's a good guy, and he listens to ska music. And someone in the back goes, "I fucking hate ska." And you know, I'm like, come on, man, why don't y'all leave ska alone? It's like ska is literally like Jamaica's R&B. You have no fucking clue how, if it wasn't for ska, you would not have half the reggae. You wouldn't have Bob Marley. Bob Marley performed ska before he was doing Boots Reggae.
Can I just ask? So, which R&B? Are we talking Usher R&B? Are we talking...
Ska was developed in the 1950s. So, we're talking about doo-wop R&B. We're talking about old-school doo-wop R&B.
I just wanted that clarification.
Yeah. No,
right.
You know, you're right.
That's a fair question.
Probably got a young people around. But yeah, it's
that's old school. Absolutely. They think R&B is fucking 112.
Right. Nah,
the ones that can't read about, cursive.
We're talking about like Chuck Berry. Like they're influenced by Chuck Berry, Little Richard.
Okay.
So, and Jamaica created their own musical style. And from that style, you actually get, you do get reggae, roots reggae. You actually get punk out of that as well.
Yep. Punk? I was just about to say punk and a few other artists even around punk. I want to say like alternative cats. David Byrne.
Okay. Yeah.
David Byrne. You can actually borrowed from ska a little bit.
You can go shit. our favorite guitarist, who's a racist. From
Clapton.
Yeah.
Eric Clapton.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of British rock and roll is coming out of.
I was telling somebody the other day how I traumatized the three of you.
Still traumatized.
Oh man, Clapton. I thought he's one of the good ones, man.
Damn it! I thought he was one of the good ones.
So that and the Gandhi one ruined me.
Gandhi didn't touch me as much as Clapton for some reason.
I can't say well.
Maybe because I know about India and its color, its colorism.
Yeah.
I'm born in Trinidad. I've been there a long time, and I know the colorism situation in India. Plus, if you watch Mississippi Masala, that was one of the big issues in that movie was colorism and anti-Black racism amongst Native Indians.
Yes.
So I wasn't surprised.
Right. Yeah. I will say this. I liked Cage as Dracula.
Hold on.
Yes, I did too.
Yeah.
Cage was phenomenal.
I did too. I was so surprised.
That was probably one of his best performances in a hot minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely
agree. I'm very critical of dudes playing fucking Dracula. Y'all know that.
Oh yeah.
I'm like fucking Chef Ramsay when it comes to that shit. Your performance is fucked up. I'm like, what are you doing? This is all trash.
How dare you?
And I was halfway ready to be worked up over it, but I was like, no, I was pleasantly surprised. Matter of fact, I think I told Mark I wouldn't mind seeing Cage's Dracula go up against Blade.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Yeah. That'd be
an interesting movie.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing that myself.
Yeah, he did a great job.
Yeah,
he was awesome. Yeah. The other thing kind of, I don't know, because the guy who directed it also did Robot Chicken.
Okay.
The Star Wars episode and stuff. And right? And so it felt just, there was a point there, I felt like, I don't know, tonally, there was almost kind of like so many different tonal shifts because I ain't going to complain about the violence. You know how I feel about violence. Yeah. There was points where it was like, did you really need to do that shit? Yeah. did it have to take the arms off and then use them as stakes? You know,
I think they did.
You know, physics wise, I know it's a fantasy. I know it's fiction. I understand that. But that jumped the shark for me.
That's jumping the bat.
That jumped the bat.
I like that extra though. I liked it. I liked
that,
it a lot.
That was that fight in the apartment building was hysterical. That was the moment I was like, what?
Right.
Wow. And then just there was like a mountain of bodies.
Yeah.
When they jumped down and they started to walk away. I was like,
I was like that too. I was like, huh? Really?
Okay.
Yeah. You have to admit. You know, without giving away too much, you have to admit that the movie was damn clever.
It was.
And the tonal shifts, I feel like they just kind of took turns giving you a little of what, you know, you expect from a horror comedy. It's like, all right, so there's a little blood, there's a little guts. But the dialogue was nice and sharp. Mm-hmm. And it actually spoke in a really odd way. It spoke to the current status of how we're trying to deal with mental health issues in general these days. And I found that, you know, you watch movies in their time period. And of course, the movie is going to reflect, you know, society in some kind of way based
social
on when
anxiety
it's made.
Of the time.
And right, and it's interesting because I've always felt like if you watch certain superhero movies, that they feel like they're drastically changing based on the era in which the movie is made. I'll use Batman as a prime example, because Batman, I feel like, because he's been depicted so many times now and so many more times than most other superheroes.
Oh, yeah.
That the tonal change, like in the 60s, it was like very campy. Mm-hmm. And all of that. And then it was a little more, not necessarily serious, but yeah, way more serious than what Adam West was doing when Michael
definitely
Keaton
darker.
Took over. Definitely darker.
Yeah.
Definitely darker, but also with like with Jack Nicholson as the Joker and all of the colorful stuff that he was doing and with Prince on the soundtrack.
Yeah.
It was definitely like this was this era.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And now it's practically like a puppet show with fight choreography because the shit is so dark sometimes.
Right.
And everybody's in fucking black.
Emo Bruce Wayne.
Which I didn't hate, but again, reflection of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Fast and Furious. Not really.
No, not really.
You know what? You could be absolutely right about that. The only problem going forward with that discussion.
Yeah.
Is that I have never sat through an entire Fast and Furious movie.
Really?
True. Wow. I mean, I gotta watch all this other shit.
I watched two of them.
Okay.
I watched
better
two
than
of
me.
Them. And I mean, you know what? I'm not a car enthusiast. The first movie was very much a car enthusiast movie.
Right.
Now it's basically trying to see and match the Tom Cruise stunt show called Mission Impossible.
Each one gets bigger.
You know, after I actually thought the most ridiculous thing I would ever see in a movie was the A-team when they used the tank to try to slow their descent.
I love that. That was so ridiculous. I loved it. It was so ridiculous.
Fast and the Furious was like, hold my beer.
But yeah, hold.
And
I got more
and was
for
doing
you.
Stuff, and I'm like,
yeah.
And you know, wait, the funniest thing about that them shooting the tank to slow their descent is it's actually like they used it in The Expanse as scientific. Like it's legit scientific theory, because they'll have a scene where, you know, you like in between, and there's no shit, because there's no air, no turbulence in space. You're flying. You turn off. If you can turn off your engines, you'll keep that direction at the same speed. You'll be accelerating because there's nothing to stop you. There's a point within navigation that on the halfway mark to your destination, and they refer to this as a flip and burn in The Expanse.
Right.
Where the ship actually turns around and turns on its thrusters. And it's turned on engines, and they're still going in that direction. But now, because the engines are on, they're slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time they get to the destination, they actually can land safely.
Mm.
Right? So it's using, you know, shooting energy off in the opposite direction to slow down your descent or slow down your flight. So when they did that in A-Team, I was like, it's so fucking ridiculous, but it made sense. I was fine with it. What I'm not fine is two arms getting torn off and used
as weapons.
as spears.
I guess we all have our priorities, right?
I can understand the arms, the two arms working as nunchucks. There's an elbow.
Oh gosh.
Throwing them and they're like straight into
Oh my gosh. I've seen all the Fast and Furious movies except for the last two. Yeah, the one that came out like this week and the last one, which I'll watch later today, actually, because I like the cars. I hate Honda, and I used to want to try to do like Tokyo Drift. Like,
I actually liked Tokyo Drift. Tokyo Drift was a good movie.
I actually liked it myself.
I mean, that was the one I saw. Like,
Lucas. And Bow Wow, Lucas Black and Bow Wow.
Yeah, you know, right.
You can't.
Why in the world would I be watching that? I was actually visiting somebody. I was in somebody else's house.
Oh, so was he really by choice? Like,
so yeah, it was like really
your environment.
But you gotta love a movie with a lot of. I mean, there are stunts that are so much fun. They're ridiculous, but yes, they're so much ridiculous. Fun.
Yes. Yes.
I remember going to see one of the, I want to say it was GoldenEye. And my brother and I are sitting there and James Bond, who has been known to do, you know, some incredible things. But this one, this guy was on a Cessna. He chases the Cessna down on a motorcycle. Both he and the Cessna go off the cliff.
Right.
Oh, gosh.
James Bond somehow positions himself to skydive the side of the plane, get in the plane, pull the man out of, was there somebody? I can't even remember somebody.
The sad thing is I remember this.
And then he gets in and from a complete 90 degree happens to pull the plane straight up to keep it from hitting the mountain. And I remember my brother going, y'all, get the hell out of here.
Oh, but it's James the Bond.
James Bond.
The fuck
James
out Bond.
That was
James Bond. If anyone's
and, the wild, off, and the wild thing the is, and wild thing is, I probably would have bought it if it was Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Timothy Dalton, no. No.
Timothy Dalton, fuck no. Oh, wait. Or was that Pierce Brosnan?
It was Pierce Brosnan. That was our introduction to...
That's even worse.
And I was like...
Oh, no. Timothy Dalton's the worst one. The worst one. I'll fight you on that one.
Yes, you will.
Can't effing stand... Oh, man.
Wow.
But...
Was that out loud?
But I will say this. I have seen lack of sexual charisma or chemistry or whatever in some of these Bond movies, never as much as Pierce Brosnan and Halle Berry.
Well,
so Mr. That, Bean has more sexual charisma than Mr. Bean. Than Dalton.
Dude, yeah.
Than Dalton.
Well, though. I think one of the worst lines I ever heard, it was the Timothy Dalton one where he's at the Rock of Gibraltar. And there's this woman in a yacht, and she's on a cell phone, and she's like, "Oh, I am so bored out here. Why can't I find a real man?" And he falls through the canopy, and I'm like, "That is the worst."
The worst
and line I have heard in James movie ever.
We should have a James Bond episode where the Beef, Wine, and Chenega crew grow up and we just break down all the bad James Bond movies.
All the bad.
They're like, man. You know, he was really a sexist motherfucker. Right? He was a misogynist.
And then there's that.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it because I enjoyed the performances in the whole nine.
Right.
But especially Sean Connery.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Connery was all kinds of fucked up. Like he came from that old school like movie star school where the woman starts acting hysterical and you fucking smack him.
Right.
What was the thing he said? Oh, the things I do for Queen Country. Really?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah,
and
really.
Nobody told you had to do all that.
W7.
Which is, you know what? Which I will say is what makes Daniel Craig's Bond almost frightening. I think the scariest moment for me for him was in Casino Royale when he comes back and they find a woman dead on the beach.
Yeah.
And M says to him, "I would suggest that things from this. But I have a feeling I don't need to say that to you." And I was like, damn, how cold of an individual could you possibly be? That your own boss is like, yeah, you don't even have to worry about him crying.
Right.
Cold therapy schmerapy, right?
Right.
Em's like this. I'm so glad we got rid of that therapy budget.
And we total waste of time.
Right.
Oh my God. Rubbish.
The therapy budgeting.
Rubbish. 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 W7.
Oh my goodness.
No, Mr. Renfield, yes.
To die. That is still one of the best villain lines ever.
We all agree that Renfield is a movie to watch pretty much at this point, right?
Yes. Getting us back on track to Renfield. Absolutely. It totally was.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah. Everybody except Awkwafina. But yeah, everybody was awesome. Yeah.
Somebody awesome. And somebody was just praising Awkwafina recently, and I don't even remember what it was.
It might have been. No, it wasn't me.
It might have, you know what? It might have been a guest on Tamron, so I'm not even gonna hang on to that. So real quick, we only got a few minutes left, but we should probably tell people if Quantumania, which of course was delayed on Disney Plus because of Jonathan Majors' recent difficulties. Let's just close out with whatever feelings we have on Quantumania. Denise, I don't think you said you didn't finish it.
I didn't finish it. But I can say is what I've seen so far, like I wish I would have seen it in the movie theater on a big screen, because like all the landscapes and stuff is beautiful and it's amazing. Yeah. All the special effects. I'm like, damn it. I should have watched it on the big screen. And Jonathan Majors, he's such an actor. Oh my God. He's great. He's absolutely great. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I absolutely loved it. I wouldn't say it's one of my favorites, but I did get a chance to see it on the big screen, and I enjoyed it. I loved particularly the opening of the film, because you have to kind of remember all the jokes from the other movies to get some of the side jokes in the opening. So I enjoyed it, and Jonathan, of course.
I would agree. It's just below, it's a couple levels below Ragnarok in terms of its wackiness and the strangeness and the weirdness of it. If you took it and you were high on any kind of drugs like shrooms, it's fucking phenomenal. You ain't, it's a good ride. It's a fun ride. Yeah. I would say that.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it so far.
And I think it's my favorite Ant-Man movie.
Oh, wow.
Because I wasn't a fan of the other two Ant-Man movies. I wasn't really a fan.
I like the first one, and the second one was like,
but this one.
The second one was like, I feel you on the second one, because it was just very connective tissue to other Marvel things, and they do that. They, you know, like we were talking about chess pieces or whatever earlier. It's kind of like that whole, okay, well, if we give them this movie, they'll appreciate this movie a little more.
Yeah.
So let's do this, and then let's throw this in, and let's do this post credit scene and da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Bob's your uncle. Bob's your uncle. By the way, Denise, so if you have any shrooms, according to an expert, shrooms makes the movie better. So
since
you're only halfway done, maybe you want to, you know.
Perhaps I should get some shrooms.
Maybe you should.
All the lights and shit. All the lights and shit. You know what? This is how good Ant-Man, if they didn't fuck up James Gunn shit, and if James Gunn had done Ant-Man 3, I believe it would have made more money. It would have been a bigger hit than it is now.
Okay.
If James Gunn did it, because it was just that kind of wacky and weird.
Speaking of wacky and weird, I want to hear the information about the friend zone.
Oh,
we got a few minutes.
Yes.
We got that. So 6 minutes ago.
All right.
So real quick,
about this.
So,
and just so everybody knows, this is something that we talked about before we actually started recording.
Right. Yeah.
Kirk has something he wants to drop.
He has some
on
kind
us,
of epiphany. So
because I've been going.
Like a light bulb moment.
I've been going back and forth and on TikTok and stuff. And a young lady was talking about this idea of romantic intimacies. And that is having friends of an opposite sex or of a gender that you're attracted to. And you have these moments, these romantic moments, for where you can hang out together at coffee shops, you know, watch movies, take night walks at night, you know, talk on the phone for hours, good shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no sexual interest between you two. You're not sexually interested in that person. You know, there is no type of will they, won't they type thing. They're just so tight with you that, you know, you can do that. And growing up, you know, we always, I know for me, at least I'll speak for me growing up, I was kind of put in a, and taught that guys chase women that they like or they find attractive for intimacy, for sexual gratification, what have you. And if you didn't achieve that, you got stuck in the friend zone, which no guy wants to get in the friend zone, right? We're like, oh man, you in the friend zone? Oh, that sucks. Friend zone. So we talk about that. It's like, oh fuck, man, she put you in the friend zone. That, you know what I mean? And so it was always like a bad thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm realizing at this age now that this is considered healthy relationships. Because you don't have, because now you can actually learn to interact and be part of a life of with another person who is a woman, who is attractive. You can definitely find her attractive and everything, but there's no chemistry between you two, but you can still have those moments. And that is what they call it, that middle ground. And it's still such a freeing moment because you don't have to, you ain't trying to chase her. So you ain't trying to do extra shit that you're trying to figure. Maybe she likes this. Maybe she'll get me, you know, I can kiss her hair. You ain't trying to figure that shit out. That goes out the window. You can just hang out.
You can just hang out.
You just hang out.
Just be breezy.
So you can hang. Yeah, you be breezy with like somebody you find hot and attractive, and vice versa. But y'all still chill.
Yeah, so
that is such. I want to say it feels like a revelation to me and a weight off. A weight off the shoulders, because you don't have to. We don't have to perform these pursuits of chasing tail all the time.
Yeah.
Not everybody is for you. Not everybody, not everyone, not every attractive woman is for your dick to slut. You just enjoy the moments, man. Enjoy the time.
Yeah.
Have great conversations and shit like that. You can still have your boys, but then you can have your lady friends who you can actually, and for a lot of guys, let's be honest, we have a hard time just being intimate and open with each other and vulnerable with each other as men. But we can always have with women. Because because women are already socialized to be that way with each other. Guys have not. Right on, give or take, but on the most part, women have a openly vulnerable with each other more so than guys can.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
I've seen women hug each other and kiss each other and be very open with each other. You know, I try to fucking hug Steve and that nigga will punch me in my throat.
I'm glad you know.
Exactly. But you see what I mean?
I see what you mean. Yeah. So
I guess my whole thing is...
Oh, shut up. You hug me all the time. You.
Yeah, I do actually. I do. I'll hug that nigga now. And so friend zoning is not a bad
thing. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. And it's not...
Clearly, I need to friend zone you.
Well, nigga, we ain't fucking, so what are you talking about?
That's the friend zone.
I find you attractive, Steve, but I don't want to slide into your DMs.
Fuck, yeah.
I ain't trying to slide in them cheeks, baby. You good and all.
Oh,
you good.
Oh,
good,
wow.
Look at Mark's face right now. He's trying to restrain so many words.
Yes.
Cosette must be right behind him. That's why he can't really.
And the church speaker.
Oh my God.
But yeah,
he broke Mark. Oh my God.
I'm just saying, you know, I feel like I'm ready to be vulnerable with people.
Wow.
Without having to get into the yams.
Wow.
That's
an awesome light bulb moment.
Yeah.
Stephen and Mark keep frowning like, what the hell?
See what Denise, wait, like, Denise, you see what I mean though?
I do.
Right? They my niggas.
Nowhere.
They my niggas, but you my friend. But you my friend, Denise.
Aw. You guys are so cute. I believe
still have to send it.
Mark doesn't have, he's the only one of us that's like, you know, happily married. Hey.
Touche.
Exactly.
So he has both.
Right. He better be friend zoned. Yeah. That's all I gotta say. If you know what I know.
Well, you know he's gotten to them yams already because, you know, he has a he has a daughter.
Right. Yeah. That's called Exhibit A, folks.
You made him fall out. He literally just fell out.
All right. That's our show, folks. We can't possibly fuck up any more than this. At least not and then record it. So I want to thank my hosts, co-hosts, Mark Abbott, who's starting to slowly resurrect himself. The queen herself, Denise Tapscott.
Yay!
And the great philosopher, Kirk Johnson. That's our show. I hope you got something out of that. Because I maybe did. Anyway, that's it. We love you. We mean it. And I think we're going to have a guest next week. Ooh. So sharpen your knives for that.
Who's the guest?
You'll find out. Later.